Okay, this is by being explained what a golden child is and a scapegoat within family dynamics. No matter if it's one, or I'm sorry, you have to be more than one child, obviously. No matter if it's two kids, no matter if somebody has three, four, it doesn't matter. There's always, as I was told in the dynamics of dysfunctional families, the dynamics of always having a golden child and always having the scapegoat. And what the difference is and what does that mean? Because I never understood. I've heard it many times. I heard it from my therapist in Ohio, psychologist in Ohio. I heard it from her partner, trauma therapist. Just last year, is you're the scapegoat. I've heard of the word scapegoat. I think we've all heard of the terminology having a scapegoat within the bloodline, but not really understanding what makes a scapegoat and what makes a golden child. You know, what's the difference and why does it happen? You know? And now, like, I fully understand and embrace what it means in putting yourself outside of things that you're involved in situations and really embracing by understanding what that means, a terminology. So you can, as I was told, accept at face value. This is what it is. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts or questions or trying to figure out why. This is what it is, Kim. You know? A golden child to a parent or parents, no matter if it's two, whether if a couple has two kids, whether they have three, four, five, doesn't matter. The golden child is the one that they see themselves through. Whether seeing themselves as a golden child could be a type of person who has a title. It could be someone who has a lot of money. It could be someone that has a lot of materialistic things. It could be someone that is out in the public. It could be, they're always the one that can do no wrong. They're always the one that always is golden in the parent's eyes, no matter what they do, no matter how toxic, no matter how, dangerous, anything they do, it doesn't matter. No matter how wrong, as I was told, you can literally, as a parent, go in front of someone and literally lay down things that a golden child has done. And no matter what, in the eyes of a parents to see and have this child that they have, and they want them to be everything that they never were, have everything that they never had, and they live through them. This is the truth, so help me God. This is by trauma therapist licensed mental health. This is not what I'm saying. This is what I have been taught and I have learned through therapy. And let's just face it, folks. Out of everybody, I was the only one that went through therapy and was goddamn consistent. That's for sure. Over 2 decades. A golden child is the one that can do no wrong. The golden child is everything that the parent or parents want them to be. They are what they wanted to be. They are what that they wanted to have. It's materialistic, it's title, it's career, it's whatever. Maybe the people they hang out with, maybe the social setting, it doesn't matter, okay? But the thing is where a dangerous line crosses is the golden child still is flawed. The golden child still is not perfect. But in a parent's eyes, the golden child is always perfect. The golden child can never do any wrong. And if they do wrong, they will do everything to secure and hide and make sure nobody finds out what that golden child has done that makes them imperfect human beings. And here is a scapegoat. Raise my hand on that one. I've been told twice. Actually, no, three times I've been told I'm the scapegoat. I have to embrace the scapegoat and accept it for what it is. I am the scapegoat. The scapegoat. Everyone, no matter what they do, it doesn't matter. It's always the scapegoat's fault. Everything is their fault. And the sad thing is, as I was told, is majority of the time, it's not their fault. Because the scapegoat gets to a point where they realize that something in the family dynamics isn't right. Something's not right. And they slowly remove themselves. Some scapegoats, I was told, they instantly, like that, remove themselves from the family dynamics because they know it's a toxic, dysfunctional family dynamic. Something's not right. They're always being blamed. It's always their fault. They can never do anything right. They can never do any good. They can never have enough money. They can't do this. They can't do that. And usually, as I was told, scapegoats are very unique individual people. They go by the beat of their own drum. They're not followers. They're not social click people. They're not materialistic people. They don't have to display all this stuff, you know, to make them feel like they're higher or believe they're better than everybody else. A scapegoat goes by the beat of their own drum. They're just a normal person like anyone. But they try to fit in into a dynamics where they're not wanted and they're not fitting in because they're not wanted. It's always the scapegoat's fault, no matter what happens. And the sad part is, again, is once a scapegoat gets old enough to realize that this is not right, this is not healthy, and it always takes, as I was told, a mental health therapist for them to figure out and maneuver and understand and learn to educate themselves that this is not healthy, this isn't right. You know, you need to place healthy boundaries, you need to slowly remove yourself, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, they're getting ice picked and constantly being chastised and belittled and made out to be a monster and literally made out to be somebody and something that they're not. And they know they're not. I know who I am at the end of the day. But things that have transpired and things that have been said without my knowledge behind my back, you would think I'm, you're talking about a whole different person. I don't know who the hell anybody's talking about, you know? And then it starts playing mental games with you because when it happens for a long, long time and you don't understand what the hell's going on, I used to call it a fog, you start to believe these things, but you know it's not right. But that's called brainwashing per trauma therapist. Now you're being brainwashed because of so many different things. And no matter what you do, hey, listen, you know, you're trying to appease a pair of parents. You're trying to say, hey, listen, I'm a good person too. It doesn't matter because in the eyes of a pair of parents who have their golden child, a scapegoat is you're just it. Sorry, that's what I was told today. Therapy session. A scapegoat to a parent's eyes is just blah. They're just eh. You know, they're just a burden. They're an inconvenience. It's not, and it doesn't matter. The scapegoat can be the greatest, kindest, most lovable, most attentive, it could be the true empath. And most scapegoats, as I was told, are empaths. Interesting. I was told I'm an empath many times. It doesn't matter what they do. There's still always the flawed out of the kids. You know? It could be something completely out of your control. You could have been born with anything. You could have had something later down the road in life. You could have got an auto accident. You could have been paralyzed. You could have, anything. Anything could have happened. That's just additional ways for a parent to say, well, this is another reason why, you know? Always looking for the reason why you're the scapegoat and how I'm going to make you the scapegoat. And you're going to start feeling like the scapegoat. But you know that those dynamics and how you feel is not right. It's not okay. It dwindles down your self-esteem. It dwindles down your self-worth. You start choosing really poor choices in relationships. You start tolerating things that you know you would never tolerated. So why are you tolerating it now? It's called disrespect. No? You start doing things that you normally wouldn't do of accepting and taking less of the value and who as a whole person that you know you are, that you goddamn deserve. But when you're constantly being fed and constantly, oh God, what is this? Oh, what now? Oh, you're always a problem. Oh, this, oh, that. Oh, the scapegoat. It's always a scapegoat. Oh, the scapegoat. And the thing is, I was told parents, when they know they got that golden child, they will go to the moon and back and brag about that golden child. And usually the golden child always produces and will produce. And sometimes there could be golden children, I was told, that don't want kids, but they know and feel that golden child pressure that they need to provide a grandchild or grandchildren for the parent or parents because they know they're the golden child. They know they can do no wrong. And the thing is then all of a sudden the golden child starts ganging up with the parent or parents to get the scapegoat. Usually there's animosity, usually there's resentment, usually there's some kind of rivalry between the sibling or siblings. The scapegoat feels all this going on. They know something's not right. They're in a fog. They can't figure it out until they seek therapy, until the right therapist, and it clicks, starts making sense of what's going on. They go from slowly removing themselves to staying away from unhealthy dynamics to staying completely away from it, to protect themselves, because they know that they've made out to be somebody that they're not. You know? You're never going to, folks, that are scapegoats, you're never going to be right in any parent's eyes no matter what you do. You're always going to be the lesser child, okay? I don't care how old you are, how old you end up, you know, your parents could be 150. Technology, who knows? And you end up being 90 or whatever. And you still, no matter, you could win the Nobel Peace Prize, as I was told. That's still not enough. It's still not enough. You know? It reminds me of a situation where I had all these proclamations with the GP website and, you know, it was a lot of work and it was. And it wasn't a profit organization. It wasn't profitable. It was educational. It was to help other patients. no matter what the age, and health attendants and doctors and loved ones and whoever, to educate themselves on gastroparesis. Because when I was diagnosed, I didn't know what the hell it was. And I couldn't find anything hardly about it. Only one organization. And there wasn't much there. You know? And it was the typical just medical information brought over to an organization webpage. I wanted something colorful and where people could, no matter what age, and, you know, and just, you know, something just clicks in your brain. Like, you know, it's a little bit of everything for everyone about the same thing. The condition, gastroparesis, what it is, what causes it, you know, bringing patients, you know, getting proclamations to government, reaching out to celebrities. That's what it was. It was never profitable. I didn't profit a goddamn dime. In fact, when I created the first gastroparesis awareness ribbon, I used my own money. When I worked for corporate, I used my own money. I fronted everything. It's not good enough, though. See, I realized as I was never good enough. That's it. That's it. Proclamations, that's it. No matter what a scapegoat does, you're never good enough. You'll never be good enough. You'll always be eh. You'll feel like you're the eh. And then you'll feel the wrath of the golden child. Because at this point, as time goes on, as I was told, and this is all by a medical professional, okay, because I don't hold a PhD, but if I can educate people and you're feeling like this, then I'm going to do it. Because that's the whole point of Free Yourself, my journey, you know? It's a collaboration. It's parts of my journey, other people's journey, stories. It's a collaboration, you know? When you get to that point and the scapegoat knows that they're being put on a pedestal of far hell less of anything remotely close to what they are to their parents, you know, they're the everything child. They're the, oh my God, you know, and no matter where a parent goes, that golden child is always the first thing they talk about. Oh my God, they have this, they have that, they're doing this, they're doing that. They just took the first space shuttle to, I mean, I don't know, some alien place out in the middle of no man's land in the world. I mean, sorry. They just created the second John Deere 5.0 tractor, and it literally has a car with a tractor and an RV. I mean, that's just how, I'm just being stupid, but you know what I mean? You have to be something, you have to laugh through the bullshit of life, because it didn't make me feel really good at all. In fact, it made me feel not good at all about myself and realizing and being told this is what you are, and this is how some people are viewing you. But you have to accept that that's nothing you can do about it. No matter what you ever do, Kim, it's never going to be enough. It never was enough, and it never will be enough. So you have to decide, is that okay? Are you content with being around any type of setting to where anybody's viewing you as such as that when you know you're more than enough? No, I'm not. And the older you get, you realize, oh, hell no, I'm not. You know? You still try to put your head on chopping block. I don't know how many times I put my head out on the chopping block, you know, being manipulated to do so and brainwashed, knowing that you're being set up. I don't know how many times that happened, but it was just sad, the people doing it. Like, I can't believe they're doing this. Why the hell did you do that to me? Because you're stalking right now the podcast. Why did you do that to me? Why did you gang up like a cult and set me up for things, knowing that as soon as I do it, you know, oh, talk to so-and-so, work things out with so-and-so. Oh, they're coming up. Call the cops. What the hell's going on? Trying to work things out. I'm told by the head honchos to work things out. That's called putting my head on a chopping block. Folks, I don't know how many times I did it. It was the same old thing. Until a sheriff and chief of police made me see things differently. Like, there's more going on than you realize, ma'am. Don't do it anymore. You know, don't put your head out there. Don't do that. You know, you just, sometimes you have to walk away, no matter who it is in life. You know, they saw things per therapist that I didn't see. That's the truth. Because we're going through so much. And now it's like the fog has completely cleared and I'm in this whole different point of life that it's like I see everything. I see the value, but the thing is I see for what it is. Not the worth, but what it was and what it is. And there's nothing that's ever going to change what happened. But it left a lasting toll. And the diagnosis was severe anxiety. I know my triggers. And I'll stay the hell away from them as best I can to my ability. Everybody has setbacks. It happens. It's life. But the golden child will always do. I mean, the parents are living through the golden child. No matter if it's a multifamily, there's always a golden child. Can there be, and I ask, can there be more than one golden child? Sometimes, as I was told, but rarely, no. You'll have the in-between kids that are really like not sure where to a parent's eyes they fit in. But you always have the scapegoat. You'll always have that as a pair of parents that are in any of face it, which you're going to feel like folks, they're scapegoats. You feel like trash. You feel like less of no matter what you do. It doesn't matter. Heaven forbid you have something with your health that's not, and you know, not even close to your control. It's out of your control. Now you're dealing with your health, but then you're dealing with being, chastised. And made to feel out to be somebody and something of no value at all because you're being treated as such. That's why. That's why you feel the way you do. Because you have no value. Because who holds all the value is the golden child. And that golden child will grow up to control, manipulate, and be part of your life no matter even if you haven't talked to them in eons, decades. It doesn't matter for therapists. The golden child still will. Realize they're golden and they will never, ever, ever, because now they have the limelight. Now they have all the attention of the parent or parents, and they're going to keep it that way. They're going to shut out and shut down the scapegoat no matter what. They're going to tell everybody what a horrible person they are, how a horrible monster. They're never good. They're not a good parent. They're not a good person. Not this, not that. It's brainwashing, manipulation at its finest. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's bullshit. It's straight up bullshit. Am I pissed of how I've been treated? Yes, because now I'm seeing it logically. This is not emotion of being upset of what I went through. I already went through that part. This is logical thinking of how much bullshit this is, that this happens to every scapegoat out there in a family. There are families, as I was told, there are normal families that don't have dysfunction, where there's not, you have healthy parent or parents, that they are not living through their child. The golden child. They're not chastising and making sure that there's a less of. The less of child is getting all of, no matter what a parent has been through their whole life, they are the person that they are literally dishing it out on, taking it out on, and the scapegoat doesn't even realize and see this is happening. They just don't understand. Why am I not being treated equal? Because you're not equal. You're not the golden child, and you're never going to be treated equal. You're always going to be treated and you're always going to feel less of. But you got to break that cycle. It took me eons, but you got to break that cycle because you know your self-value and self-worth, and it is priceless. You know, you're nothing like the golden child because a scapegoat and a golden child are like night and day, black and white, yin and yang. Okay, hot and cold. They're nothing like one another. Okay? But you got to break the cycle because that will dwindle your self-esteem. You're going to start choosing wrong people in relationships, wrong men, wrong women in marriages. You're going to start accepting bad behavior. You know why? Because the people who you should feel a value of something are projecting and making you feel and doing it as you're nothing. And that is your own flesh and blood, your own parent or parents. So you start feeling less of a person, you know? There's always things, as I was told with trauma therapists, there's always things going on that is grouped up and ganged up. They call it cult-like activity. Cults do things like this. Things that are happening behind the scenes of how to just keep dwindling down on the scapegoat, you know? They never want the scapegoat to escape. They'll keep reeling them back in, no matter if it's playing games, no matter if it's getting their hopes up, no matter if it's something to do. Maybe a scapegoat is going through financial problems. A golden child, as I was told, went through the financial problems. But when they went through it, it was no big deal. And it was, you know, and then they came out of the light and, you know, whatever. But it doesn't matter because a golden child never does any wrong anyway. See what I mean? So it wouldn't matter what they went through. You know, they could be going through rough times, whatever, it doesn't matter. You're still golden. But heaven forbid the scapegoat goes through rough times financially. They're going through times with their health, whether it's temporary or whether it's a permanent thing with their health. Oh, well, it's typical of the scapegoat to have financial problems. It's all typical because they're in anyway. They're the burden of all, as I was told. They're the burden of all of the negativity, all the problems, all of everything of everyone in the family. Is everything that's going on, no matter what's going on in someone's life within the family dynamics, and there's others that learn this behavior and they dump, it's called dumping on the scapegoat. They find themselves dumping on them too and ganging up and doing activities against the scapegoat that can be detrimental. It can also be deadly, and it's damn right dangerous behavior. And when they do it, they're going to make sure the scapegoat, whatever they do, they're going to make sure the scapegoat never finds out. They're going to hide it, evade it, avoid. And once the scapegoat finds out, because the scapegoat always finds out, and they go to confront the behavior, which is normal. You're going to confront the behavior, scapegoats. No matter what your family dynamics is with that golden child or golden duo, it doesn't matter. No matter how many siblings, you're still going to confront your parent or parents, whether you have one or you both parents. When something happens and it is really serious, you're going to confront. That's normal behavior. It's called, for my therapist, being a normal human being. But you're going to be shut down, locked out, kept out. They're going to find reasons and excuses. And they're going to take it all the way to the grave. Because they didn't want you to know and find out what they're doing to you. The scapegoat is the one who gets dumped on by all the problems, no matter what happened in a parent's life, whatever happened to everyone's life, it doesn't matter within, you know, the circle. You know, the circle, as I was told, can also be equal to bringing in cousins or bringing extended family into the main component of the immediate family dynamics and bringing an extended family into, it's as I was told, it's a game, really. It's a really twisted, sickening game. No. And you'll find that stuff out too. Then you start questioning, who the hell am I trusting in the bloodline? Because then when you start realizing people that you really, I mean, let's face it, folks, unless you're in a really tight family, well, if you're really, really tight family and a really good family, because there are really tight and really tight families, really good normal families where there is no scapegoats and there are no golden children, as I was told, you know, and that's the truth. So they're not going to have this. But in the dynamics of dysfunction, no matter how serious it may be or the extent of it, extreme, right? They're always going to recruit and make sure to bring in the extended family. And let's face it, when you're in dysfunction, normally you don't have that strong connection. You're not that close to extended family anyway, right? I'm sure a lot of people are shaking their head, right? Because you're probably either the golden child or you're the scapegoat, right? Now all of a sudden you're a scapegoat, you're finding out cousins, whether it's one or multiple or aunts or uncles, whoever, now everybody's in on it. But you didn't know this because you never know what's going on behind the scenes. This is why you have to walk away. And so, most of the times I was told it's a slow transition of walking away. Because you know, when you get older, you realize by looking at, you know, the world and your wisdom and by experience and the world and as a whole and who you are as a whole, and you start to learn about yourself and who you are as a person when you get older, not when you're younger. You're still figuring yourself out. But you realize you deserve more and you didn't deserve this kind of treatment. But you don't know how to deal with this because this is your own damn flesh and, you know, flesh and blood. Now this is twisted. You know? Usually I was told you have to slowly walk away and you have to seek mental health help to maneuver through this part when you decide to finally realize that this is not okay. And you're being dumped on, you know? And being dumped on is not a good feeling. You're taking on everything that you may be dealing with, but then everybody else within family, no matter who's doing this and being part of, you know. The golden child never gets dumped on. Trust me. A parent or parents will protect that golden child no matter how wrong they've done anything, no matter how serious it is. They could be a murderer, and they will protect that murderer, golden child, no matter what. I mean, I did find myself kind of chuckling when I was told that extreme, how it gets, how extreme. But then I really think about it. I'm like, well, yeah, you know, because the golden child's always golden. The golden child's always golden. It never changes. The golden child has all the attention from the parent or parents. If they have children, they get all the attention, you know. The scapegoat is just the ant. You know, and the sad part, as I was told too, is even if the scapegoat has their own children or married into children, there's still the whole dynamics of their child or children or stepchildren are still they're not welcome. They're not invited. They're not, they're not being meshed in with the rest of the family because you're the scapegoat. Get it? They don't want nothing to do with you. They're dumping on you. The only time they want anything to do with you is to dump on you. Oh, God, now what? Oh, God, this. You could be going through financial things people did in COVID. Oh, God, they got COVID. Oh, God, this. Oh, God, that. You know? You could be doing things with your health. Oh, God, now what? Oh, God, this. Oh, God, that. You know? It messes mentally with anybody who's a scapegoat because you're trying to figure out what the hell, what the hell. And the thing is, you ain't done nothing. 99.9% of the time, you've already escaped because you're the scapegoat. Escape. Okay? So now all of a sudden you realize you ain't even part of the dynamics, but you're still being dumped on. How the hell does that happen when you ain't even around the dysfunction in eons? My therapist said that there was one patient she treated that wasn't around the dysfunction for over 20 years, and they still were being dumped on. They're on the complete side of the United States, the opposite side of the United States, and they're still being dumped on. So then she said we had to work on boundaries and things of how to get that to stop. You know, because as she said, that wears on people, you know, and as a scapegoat, you have literally have taken on so much weight on your shoulders that it becomes natural, as I was told. Things that happen to you, Kim, it's like writing on a piece of paper and handing it to you each time. This is what happened to you. And you look and you say, okay, you may have got a little upset or whatever, but you never fully embraced. You never got and bought and purchased whatever it took to find out everything. No matter if it's transcripts, whatever, which, let's just face it, I did everything. Over the past year, I got everything that I didn't have. And I got to really read and look at everything. And it disgusted me. Over the weekend, I got the rest of something else. And it literally made me spin my head because you two were involved and trying to lock me up. Because I was sharing my journey. And you knew what was going on. And a judge threw it out. Because he knew this wasn't right. And it wasn't right the first time trying to come after you doing things when I'm not even around. And you did it in a way that is literally just, I don't think there'll ever be any words. And finding out that people that are supposed to love you and protect you have done just the opposite and to try to put you in jail for sharing your journey. Your journey and your story, as I was told, for trauma therapist includes people. Unless you live on a planet by yourself. Autobiographies include people. Documentaries include people. But certain people of who they are should be protecting and loving you. And if they're involved in a situation where they're trying to put you behind bars in a very, very not sterile environment and you're sick, it's dangerous. That's not okay. How do you maneuver through that? It's really about, for me, is really I haven't accepted that happened. So I'm working with the trauma therapist to accept. And then making peace for me, a gift to myself to make peace so I can somehow move ahead from that. How do you move ahead from that? So one thing when I had these people go into my doctors behind my back, and the doctor's coming forward, but to literally read is, you know, people are supposed to love you unconditionally, and those involved should all, per therapist, be trying. You know, they should be trying. They should be loving you and protecting you unconditionally, because as a unit, we do that. But then to try to lock someone up and their spouse as well, because they're sharing a journey or they're taking humor and using that as a healthy, safe outlet for a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety, and trying to silence you to the depths of putting you in jail is disturbing. To have one of them admit it on the phone is even to her more disturbing, because this person doesn't care what they do to you. Because if they did, they wouldn't have begun doing half the things, not even touch the things that they did for many, many years. I'm trying to make peace with things. And how do you do that in such extreme that happened? I don't know. Anybody can get transcripts and things. You'll have to pay for them when you're involved with anything. A lot of people can expunge things too. If they don't want people to know in society as per therapists, that's what usually happens when people do things and all of a sudden people find out, you know, not by people, but by universe. It happens. Professionals and higher ups want the person to know this happened. It's a way of saying, hey, listen, stay away from them. This isn't healthy. This isn't okay. But I protected you. But please stay away. You can get and pay for transcripts. You have to go through a recorder's office. And usually, it's just easier to work with an attorney. That way you don't have to pay as much for transcripts. So you're talking about transcripts you pay yourself. I know Eric pulled transcripts from something, and it was like $375. That was a couple of years ago. Actually, it was about 3 years ago. But you can work through an attorney, and they'll get those transcripts for you. I mean, anybody can expunge anything. But when you're involved in a case and somebody expunging something, they can expunge, as I always explain, their part. But it's not going to expunge your part unless you do that also. If not, it remains public record, and anybody can see that stuff. That's just how the court system works. But how to maneuver through things that had happened, which this is not a lie, this is not a joke, this is the truth. I was always like hesitant to talk about it, and I never did, is because I realized that I literally believed that I was this bad person. I started believing I was this bad person, horrible person, but I'm around these people. That, as I was told, is called brainwashing, Kim, at its finest. You know? And people who brainwash, that's their whole point and principle to do that to you. But, you know, it's, You know, this stuff is just crazy. It's crazy. It just doesn't seem real at times. It really doesn't. And that's the problem that I have, is I have to understand and realize this is real, what you went through. All right, self, this is real. This isn't a joke. This is not, you know, this is real. And anybody tries to make you think otherwise is brainwashing you, because they probably took part in it. They want to shut you down so you silence yourself. They did it for years. It's threats and everything else. Or for therapists, using monetary ways and means of money as equaling power. And that's not okay at all. We should be protecting people, not doing the things that happen. It's not okay. Did it cause problems in the marriage? Oh, hell yeah, it did. Because it was happening to Eric, too. You know? And Eric's not a saint by any means. Eric's done things, okay? Let's face it. He's not admitting that. But, you know, it takes really working with therapy. On his end, his own therapist, but really, you know, and us talking about things, not everything of what he goes through in therapy is his business and his privacy, and mine is mine. And if he wants to discuss it, whether it's a platform or with people, that's his business, and it's my business as well. If whether I want to discuss it on a platform, whatever, as I was told by therapist, your truth is your truth. Your journey is your journey, and you have every right to talk about it. You know? But it affected the marriage. You know, it affected things with my stepson. Yeah. That's a huge part. Then I still am trying to accept that got taken away. You know, because let's say I would have met somebody else who had kids, and I realized things are going on, and I walked away before it got to the crazy point of things that had transpired. I would probably still be active and a part of, and been enjoying life as a parental role model. As something I always wanted to be my whole life, was a parent, have kids. So to have people that should be protecting you, hurting you in every which way, and then going to in-laws and saying things that are just, that are not true, and that is not true. Saying I lay around, yes, is true, but you're not explaining why I lay around. You're just, as a trauma therapist, getting a perception and putting it out there to people to still make you look like this less of person. You're the scapegoat, Kim. You're the You're the less of. My value is nothing. Sorry. I want Tyler to feel that way. I have felt my value has been nothing as a human being to these people for a long time. And I've had to fill my life with healthy people, but also be careful of new people and how to maneuver through new relationships, and even just people as acquaintances that become friends, and learning healthy choices and choosing in life as a whole has been also a huge chunk of trauma therapy, because my process of choosing and decisions and thinking had to be relearned. It's like starting from the ground up all over again. So to say that the old person that I was is gone, it really is. But the part of me that always remains is the sense of humor. I'll always enjoy laughing, and I always enjoy sharing laughter and making other people smile, because that's always been me. And I've been like that my whole life. It's not just something in adulthood. But it was a healthy mechanism in a way when I was going through all this stuff, folks, is to do skits and just to laugh and make other people laugh. You know, that's the truth. But getting back to it, the difference between a scapegoat and a golden child is like night and day, yin and yang, black and white, hot and cold. You're never going to be right as a scapegoat. You're never going to do right. I don't know how any scapegoat ever feels good about themselves around dynamics that making you feel, because they want you to feel not good about them yourself. And projecting out into the world to others, no matter how they're connected to you, as not a good person, feeling like a monster, knowing that you're knowing what's going on, you're not even around people. You know? And then when you find it all out and you realize, what the hell? What the hell? Huh? It's just covering up. People will do crazy things, as I was told, to cover their behavior. No matter what it takes, no matter what extreme. Even if it means throwing you in jail, Kim. Ain't nobody throwing you in jail, Kim. Because the judge made sure that didn't happen. And I got the transcripts. And then a phone call was made this evening to let them know. I know you were involved. But I knew all along, my gut instinct, they were involved. Because the one person that was helping to orchestrate all this got defensive when Eric made a statement that it was just you doing all this. And their comeback was, oh, no, it's not. These two knew exactly what was going on. Don't sit there and blame me, saying I did everything. But why did you continue, eons later, continuing to collaborate, to do things to somebody you should have been protecting unconditionally, no matter what, me? And if I'm married and they have kids, is protecting them. I mean, that's a unit, right? I mean, that's what you do. That's normalcy. That's twisted what you did. You continued, but you got worse. And nobody ever will figure that out, thinking. I don't think so. I don't want to be around it. Eric, I'm around it. Like I say, is, you know, in a situation, you know you're a scapegoat. You know you are. You've realized something's not right. Now you reached out. You did the right thing, right? All right, you didn't get into unhealthy things of smoking and sex and alcohol and gambling. Okay, you took the right road. Be proud of yourself. You took the first step. Now you're in therapy. It's going to be a while before a therapist looks at you and says, you're a scapegoat, okay? Because the therapist has to get to know everything. Trauma therapists, we're not into the emotional stuff. They're into logical thinking, getting into the brain and telling you why, what, and how, and what happened, and not who it was or who they are to you, but why. It's a closure, really. It's the last part of therapy. It's the peace. And that's closure. But that's the first healthy step, is to get into therapy. And once you realize and you're told, a therapist tells you, hey, listen, you're a scapegoat. This is your time to start setting yourself free and freeing yourself. It's going to be a slow process. You're going to still backtrack yourself because you want to be part of the dynamics of the people that you should be a part of. You know, you accept less of, you'll accept being the one out of the group, because these are the people that you should be loving you back. I mean, that's just natural. It's nature. So you keep trying and you try even harder. And if you keep trying too long, you're going to lose yourself. Don't let it happen. Don't wait that long. Yeah. And then you're going to have to slowly walk away. And that's going to be tough, because that's tough. That was tough for me. You have to do that because it's healthy boundaries. It's called respect. You know, self-respect. You have to do it. Good time goes on. Let time go. If it's meant to be, it'll be meant to be. That's how I look at it. But in dynamics and things where you're always going to be the ant, don't expect anything to change. In fact, expect things that are probably going to get worse. And the distance gets longer and farther. And then ultimately, at the end of life, it's sad and unfortunate, but we just all end up becoming strangers. And that's sad. But that's a reality as a scapegoat that you have to accept and you have to understand. Because what it is in front of you is what it is, what it has been, and the way it will always be.